answers begins right now.
Raising children in the instruction of the Lord is more challenging than ever. Children are being bombarded with ideologies contrary to biblical teaching on a daily basis. How can we train them to be discerning from a young age? How can we instill in them biblical values in a culture that values self and autonomy from God? You're tuned to Evidence and Answers radio broadcast with our host, Pat Zukran. Pat is an author, teacher, and international speaker in the area of Christian apologetics, the defense of the Christian faith. The last time we were together, Pat and his guest, Dr. Randy Manley, pastor of Molokai Baptist Church, began a discussion regarding the biblical principles on how to raise children who will become a new generation of warriors for Christ. If you've missed any part of this message, log on at evidenceandanswers.org, and there you will find this message entitled Discipling Children, and find hundreds more podcasts that you may download or listen online. Now let's join into part two of this important discussion.
Boy, yeah, just your life is really pouring it into your children. They're watching and they're gaining understanding and values from you. I remember my dad, he was a football fanatic. He watched, back then we didn't have the LCD screens, you know, we had these box TVs. He had three TVs in the living room watching NFL football. And he was going to the University of Hawaii game, the high school game, you know, all these football, and he valued football. And I'm growing up, everybody knew I was a tremendous golfer and tennis player, but I was out there playing football, a sport that I really wasn't built for. I'm only 5'7", you know, and back then I was 135, and everyone's saying, why are you playing football? And I said, well, that's the man's sport. Yeah. And everyone's just kind of shaking their head. I mean, I did fine, better than expected, but I always felt playing golf or tennis was second rate. And I never knew why. You know, I wish I had picked it up from the beginning. I don't know if I'd be playing with Tiger Woods, probably not, but I'd be a lot better than I was. You know, subconsciously, I was picking that up from my dad because he valued, that's all he talked about with his friends. That's what he seemed to value. And I, you know, wanted to be something that my dad would talk about with his friends. And so subconsciously or whatever, that was kind of being drilled in me and I was picking that up. So you can see how the good and the bad gets picked up. What you're saying, just living life in front of your kids, do they see Jesus in every facet?
Yeah, absolutely. And on the flip side of that, I remember as a kid, my cousin, who was probably about 12 or 13 years old, his dad caught him smoking. Mm. And we say over here in Hawaii that he got dirty lickings. And he did. But that always puzzled me as a kid because my uncle was a chain smoker.
Yeah.
And yet he didn't want his kid to smoke, but his son was doing what he saw him do. And that is, again, like you said, it's not just true with sports or, you know, with bad habits. It's also true if we incorporate as parents the love of God, the presence of God into our lives, into the lives of our kids. They're going to pick that up.
Yeah. So, Randy, you know, what are some of the greatest challenges to discipling children?
Well, there are so many in today's world. We face a situation where we've got a school system in most places that is, if it's not anti-God, it certainly is void of God.
Right.
Which, again, I would argue is ultimately anti-God. So we're up against that. We're up against things like social media, especially with our, I was going to say, especially with our kids that are in their teens, but that's not true anymore. It's even going younger than that, where everything is centered again on the way I look, the way I present myself, how many likes I get. You know, we're up against that. We're up against things like the music industry, the film industry. Honestly, it seems like we are up against this mountain of opposition to raising our kids the right way. And so it's important that we, first of all, are very prayerful in our approach to this thing. We're living in a day and age that if we think that we can raise our kids and even do things like marriage the way that we need to without God's help, we are setting ourselves up for disaster. And so going into it prayerfully every day, God, help me today to know what to do to help to raise my kids in the way that you would have me raise them. We can't shield them and guard them from everything. And so part of discipling is preparing them to respond to these things in the way that they need to. How are they going to respond when the negative things about God come up in the classroom or in a conversation at school? How are they going to respond in a social media situation where something's being promoted that they're being told at home is not something that is God honoring? And it's important that we begin to look for ways to encourage them and equip them to deal with these things.
Yeah, you touched on a great subject here. And, you know, we've got a upcoming conference here featuring the team from Mama Bear Apologetics, you know, but more than ever, children are bombarded with ideologies that are contrary to biblical teaching right from a very young age, from the media to the internet, to their educational system that you talked about, to their peers. How can we train them and disciple them to be discerning from a very young age? We need to train them in their elementary school years. We are learning, surveys are showing that by the time they're in junior high, they're seriously doubting their faith. And many, by the time they get to high school, have already checked out. So how can we incorporate that? How can we train a child to be worldview wise and discerning from a very young age? How would you do it?
Well, I think you point out something super important, Pat, in that we have to start young. George Barna, many people I'm sure are aware of the Barna Institute, which he started years ago, but he's now at Arizona Christian University. Yeah. And he's doing very similar work that he did when he was at his own organization, the Barna Organization. But they just recently came out with some very interesting surveys that demonstrate that by the time a child is 13, their worldview is pretty much set.
Wow, 13.
Now, that doesn't mean that it can't be changed after that. The change won't come easy after that because it's pretty much set in place by the age of 13. That means we do have a lot of work to do when they're younger. And I firmly believe that this comes in all kinds of different ways. But the biggest challenge for us is time, is spending the time with our kids, reading with them. And again, reading good things with them. We had a specific time as we were raising our kids where in the evening we'd sit on the couch and the kids would sit around us and we would read to them good Christian fiction, good things that would get them thinking, right? Because one of the things that we want to develop in our children is the ability to think. That is being lost in our society today. And we need to teach our children how to be critical thinkers. And when they're really young, they're not going to capture all that. So you're building some of the foundational truths so that as they get older, their brain is developing and functioning to the point where they can start thinking critically. They'll have a foundation on which to go back to. Mm-hmm. And getting good materials that are training us to train them. And you mentioned Mama Bear Apologetics, great book for doing that. One of the reasons I really love that book is because at the end of each chapter, they give you practical ideas on how to take the information and incorporate it into teaching your children. That's the type of things I was so appreciative for as a parent, those types of tools where I'm not just being given information, but ways in which I can use it to help train my children. And the primary goal, Pat, is not that we're raising kids that know all these facts. We want to raise kids that are truly followers of Jesus. So our goal is that they come to a personal relationship with this Jesus that we say is amazing, that they have that relationship. Because again, our goal is not to create a bunch of kids that are, you know, catechized so that they can just spit out all the right answers. Mm-hmm. We want kids that their hearts have been changed and they believe the things that we believe, not because we believe them, but because they're convinced of them. And it's become their worldview as well.
Yes. You know, on another topic, Randy, with all this gender confusion, and schools now teaching our teachers that every day you need to ask a student, how do they want to be addressed? You know, as a boy, a girl, or they, them, you know, with all that confusion going on, how do you teach boys to be men and girls to be women when the culture is saying these are negative aspects here, negative traits, or the culture is all saying gender is fluid? A lot of parents are wondering, how do I teach my boys to be men and girls to be women?
Yeah, no, and we're living in a day of confusion. There's no doubt about it. And so that's why it's so important to take our kids back to a foundation, right? So it all goes back to, where did we come from? If there is a God and he created us, then that means that there is a purpose and a design for his creation. So taking my children back to the idea, look, you just didn't happen to come about. Mm-hmm. You were made, created by a God who has purpose and design. So let's see what that purpose and design is, right? So all we have to do is go back to Genesis chapter 1, mm-hmm. verse 27. God created humans, male and female. He created them in his image. The next verse, verse 28 says, and God looked and saw that everything he created was very good. And that word in the Hebrew for very, that we translate very, means exceedingly. In other words, it was way good. Well, what was way good? Everything that he had created up to that point, and the crowning point of creation was when he created human beings. And it's very clear. He created man and woman. And he said, this is very good. So when we talk to our children about some of these things, we have to go back to the basics, back to the foundation. Let's take a look at who God is, what he's done, and how his plan and design play out in our lives. God, in his wisdom and love, chose to make you a boy, chose to make you a girl. And so we need to celebrate that, not question that, not bring into our kids' minds, hey, you know, maybe that's not what, that's what your body parts say, that's what your physical makeup says, but maybe we should step back and how do you feel about that? Instead, go back to the reality, the facts. This is what God has created. Now, are there times that some of those things come into question because we're having feelings that are different? Of course, right? There are all kinds of things where our feelings don't line up with reality. It used to be that what we did is we would try to help people change their feelings to line up with reality. Now we're trying to make reality change so that we can line it up with our feelings. So what we have to teach our children is just the opposite. There is a reality, and our feelings need to line up with reality, not the other way around.
Yeah, that's great advice. You know, Randy, one of the big concerns of parents is that many parents have had children who've grown up and kind of wandered away from the faith. Yeah. You've raised, was it 4 or 5 kids?
Five.
Yeah. And I remember talking to Clint, and Clint in his life, there was a time when he kind of wandered away from the faith. Now he's doing great and mighty things for the Lord, but there was a time when he wandered away. And what advice can you give to parents who have a child, maybe in their teen years or their adult years now, who seem to have wandered away from the faith?
Yeah, and we're seeing a lot of that. I'm not sure if, you know, actually more accelerated, or it's because we have so much more access to things like YouTube and social media, but we definitely are aware of it more, if nothing else. I would say the first thing, Pat, is keep loving your child right where they're at. Love does not mean I endorse whatever off path things that they have gotten into. I don't endorse those things, but I love them as the child that God gave me, the child that's made in God's image. I'm going to still love them no matter what, just like God loves us no matter what. Pray for them and continually look for opportunities to speak into their lives. I think one of the problems, going back to discipling our children, one of the problems that I hear with people that are leaving the faith or deconstructing or whatever you want to term you want to use it, is that they were never allowed to ask why. They were never allowed to question the Bible. They were never allowed to question things about God. Basically, the idea was, hey, this is it. Don't ask. This is just what you believe. That is not teaching our children to think critically, for one thing. And it's also not realistic. You know, I can remember as a child, you know, 11, 12 years old, and I grew up as a pastor's son, but I can remember laying on my bed at night and wondering, is this true? Is this God real? How do I know that Jesus really died on the cross? What if it's not? What if it's another way? What if it is, you know, Buddha? What if it is Muhammad? And I would have those thoughts as a preteen. Kids have questions, and their questions shouldn't cause us to panic or fear, because we should have answers, right? Yeah. We come from an institution that, you know, quotes often the passage about being ready to give a reason for the hope that we have. Well, that's not just with people outside the church. That's people in your home. That's your children. Let them ask those questions. And if you don't know, if their question catches you off guard and you go, I have no idea. It's, you know, it's not a, well, dad said so, or just follow this. The way that we should deal with that is say, man, you know, that's a good question. I haven't thought about that. Let me look and let's maybe find this answer together. Number one, that shows your child that you are not the all-knowing being, that there's only one all-knowing being, that you're willing to say, hey, I don't have all the answers, but let's try to find that answer together. And then follow through on that. Find the answer. If they're old enough, do it with them. Go on the internet. You know, there's great resources to find some of these tougher answers to questions and discover it with them together. And what you're showing them is, number one, I am willing to do this with you. Let's research this together. Number two, there are all these great ways that we can find these answers. We don't have to walk around with these questions just eating us up. There are answers to these questions, and there's a lot of good people that have spent a lot of time studying to find out these answers.
Yeah, like you said, you know, in the beginning of the show, disciple, you know, one definition is learner.
That's right. Know?
And yes, we're a disciple for life. And if we show our children, yeah, even I'm a disciple of Christ. I'm learning for the rest of my life. That's a great example there. And, you know, one thing I tell parents is that, you know, as the teen is growing up, their faith, it's the jacket you gave them that they're wearing. And when they get to their teen years, they take that jacket off. And the next one they put on is going to be theirs. But it can be kind of uncomfortable, you know, when you see them take off that jacket and really begin to explore, what is it that I am going to believe for my life? That's a kind of tough transition. How did you get through that time with your kids?
Well, it may have been a little bit easier for me, Pat, because I went through that myself. For me, it was my older teen years. Like I said, I had these questions that kind of rumbled through my mind as a preteen. When I got into college my freshman year, I was confronted with some deep questions that I didn't have the answer to. And I remember by myself just pondering again some of these things. And what came to me was I needed to make a decision. Did I believe what I believed because my parents believed it? Or did I believe what I believed because I believed it was true? And that sent me on this quest to not necessarily deconstruct, but to find out if there are answers to this. And as I discovered the answers, the faith became mine. The faith became much stronger because it became mine. And not just because this is what I've heard all my life growing up. And I love my parents. They did a great job in getting truth to us. But you're right. There comes a time and a point where you make a decision. Is this my jacket or am I wearing somebody else's jacket? So because I went through that, I anticipated that with my kids. And we made it a point to let them know that there wasn't a question they could ask that was off the table, mm-hmm. that it was okay to ask those questions. It's okay to have those doubts. You mentioned Clinton a few minutes ago, and I remember very distinctly one Sunday morning, we were in a worship time in the service. And I remember him just bawling and crying. He's about 9 or 10 years old. We talked about it after the service. I said, Clint, what was going on during the service? And he said, Dad, I don't know if I want to go to heaven. Mm. And think about if you're a parent, how you might respond to that. I know a lot of parents that would have jumped down their kid's throat, right? But because I went through what I went through, I was able to just say, well, why would you say that, Clint? What about heaven don't you like? And here, you know, we laugh about it now. We talk about it now. But in his mind, the closest thing he could compare to heaven was a church service. And he thought, if I've got to go to church for eternity, uh-huh. I know I'm supposed to want to go there, but I don't want to go to church forever. Uh-huh. So it was a great opportunity to talk to him about what heaven was really like and what false conception that he had gotten from it. But that opportunity never would have been there if I had answered him like, what do you mean you don't want to go to? Of course you want to go to. Heaven's a great place. You know, that's dumb. I never want to hear you say that again. Mm-hmm. Versus saying, hey, let's talk about this. Why wouldn't you want to go to heaven? Let's find out what's going on inside your head. So I think it's super important that we let our kids know, look, I may not have all the answers, but you can ask the questions.
Yeah, you bring up a great point. Children need to know that home is a safe place where I can ask these kind of questions and I can struggle. You know, I can come home and say, Dad, why am I not a woman? Or Dad, Johnny said he's a girl. What's the deal? What about me? You know, or whatever. And instead of just blasting them, they know it's a safe place where they can come and share those kinds of struggles, even though it makes us as parents, you know, feel real uncomfortable.
That's right. And the reality is, Pat, somebody's going to have an answer for them, and you better hope it's you, right? Yeah. As a parent, because somebody's going to give an answer to their question. Mm-hmm. And if it's not you, more than likely, it's going to be somebody that's going to point them in the other direction. And we do. We, as parents, we're fearful sometimes of getting asked the question we don't know the answer to, but it's okay. We don't have to have all the answers right at that time. We do ourselves great disservice and our kids, you know, even bigger disservice if we act like we know everything and that they can't ask questions that I don't know, because if they do, then I've got to make them look like the one that is dumb. We need to be honest with our limitations and be ready to help them discover. And in the process, we can even discover, how would I answer that question?
Yeah, that's great words of advice. You've been listening to our interview with Dr. Randy Manley, pastor of Molokai Baptist Church. And Randy, you know, boy, 1 hour went by real quick here, but people want more information on you and Molokai Baptist Church, tremendous church out there doing a great work on the island of Molokai. Tell us a little bit about Molokai Baptist and the ministry you have out there and how people can get in touch with you if they want to.
Well, I describe what God has been doing in our lives and in the life of our church as simple. We're just simple people that are trying to latch on to God's wondrous, simple grace that's available to us all. And we would love to have anybody who's on island come visit with us and join us in worship on Sunday mornings. We're in Ho'olehua, which is almost right in the middle of Molokai. If you look on a map of Molokai, we're about 2 miles from the airport. We're sitting in beautiful Hawaiian homeland area. We have a website, molokaibaptist.com. We have a YouTube channel as well. It's on Molokai Baptist. Punch it in on YouTube and that'll pop up. And so any way that you want to check us out, we would love to have you do that.
All right. You've been listening to Evidence and Answers, and been talking about discipling children with Dr. Randy Manley, pastor of Molokai Baptist Church. So, Randy, God bless you and your ministry out there. Thanks for being with us here on Evidence and Answers.
Thank you, Pat.
Once again, we've run out of time. Thank you for joining us here on Evidence and Answers. Our goal is to bring you the love of Christ and to equip you in your faith to always be ready to give a response. If you would like to hold an apologetics conference or series of teachings at your facility, contact Pat by calling him in Hawaii. That number is 483-0586. Or you may email him through the Evidence and Answers website. That's evidenceandanswers.org. Be sure to browse through our listing of topics on our site. We have everything from atheism to Zen Buddhism. You will also find articles and additional audio for you to listen to or download. An additional location to find Pat's messages is on YouTube. Look up Evidence and Answers and hit the subscribe button. To keep quality broadcasts like Pat's on the air, we rely on generous financial support from you, our listeners. Donating is simple. Just log on at evidenceandanswers.org. Evidence and Answers is grateful for one of our sponsors, the Honolulu Christian Church. If you don't have a home church and are looking for a place to grow in your faith, check out the Honolulu Christian Church. For service times, log in at honoluluchristian.org. Join us again next time on the air or online as we provide compelling reasons for faith in Christ. That's Evidence and Answers with Pat Zukeran.